Master commenting on his work in South India for 2 years record prior to July 1968, made the above statement. He laments that the results of the work done by him are good, but not according, that is, proportionate to his labor. The word dogmatic used by him in this context needs to be understood carefully. This word certain times may be used as similar to a belief, or a canon, or a blind faith, or even superstition. We may note that religion is about dogma and beliefs. Faith and spirituality are about experience. With religion, it's all settled. With faith and spirituality, it's an adventure. We remain open to the spirit, to revelation, wherever we find it. Dogma is an established belief or doctrine held by a religion or ideology thought to be authoritative and not to be disputed or doubted. But in the context of religion, the term is largely descriptive. Outside of religion, its current usage tends to carry a pejorative connotation, referring to concepts as being established only according to a particular point of view, and thus one of doubtful foundation. Religious dogma, properly conceived, reach back to proofs other than themselves, and ultimately faith. If the faith is questioned, the dogma falls, as dogmas are not rational categories. Dogmas are commonly found in many religions, such as Christianity and Islam, and in Shanmatas, the sects upholding the supremacy of Vishnu, Shiva, Ganapati, Kumara, Shakti, and Surya of Hinduism, where they are considered as core principles that must be upheld by all followers of that religion. As a fundamental element of religion, the term dogma is assigned to those theological tenets which are considered to be well demonstrated, such that the proposed disputation or revision effectively means that a person no longer accepts the given religion as his or her own, or has entered into a period of personal doubt. Dogma is distinguished from theological opinion regarding those things considered less well known. Dogma may be clarified and elaborated, but not contradicted in the teachings. Rejection of a dogma is considered a heresy in certain religions and may lead to expulsion from the religious group. This fear of expulsion from the religious group makes many aspirants who have direct awareness of some sacred knowledge trying to somehow paste it on as a new interpretation of the dogmas. This fear makes them not proceed further in the path. This is my analysis of the situation. They are trying to paste their experiences onto the old dogmas they have got. Whether they are Shaivite or Vaishnavite, it does not matter much. However, it must be noted that the dogmas of Hinduism are formidable. The theory of rebirth, the theory of karma, and the theory of mukti are the three most important dogmas through which Indian philosophy has been made subservient to ethics and religion. The influence of these dogmas, the influence which these dogmas have over moral and religious well-being of the Indian people cannot be overestimated. Not all Indians are believers in God. Not all of them believe in prayers, divine grace, or devotion as the best mode of approach to God. But all of them believe in these articles of faith. They have thus held together the entire religio-moral fabric of the Hindu, Buddhist, Jaina culture. Master also has accepted all these three articles of faith, and therefore, when he called some persons dogmatic, he was surely not referring to these three dogmas of Hinduism. Persons who are determined to know God and relied on personal experience have always questioned the dogmas. The Gnostics believed that questioning one's faith was always important. They held that to know, Gnosis, God was to seek deeper and honest meaning for one's life. This Gnosis led to integral awareness of one's oneness of relationship to God and the world. The way of the masters was always a spiritual journey, not a system of right beliefs. The traditionally or orthodoxly oriented persons have always tried to somehow pattern their personal knowledge to the dogmas of the mutts, missions, or ashrams to which they belonged. They wanted always a precedent to quote, and the names of the accepted authorities like Adi Shankara or Bhagavad Ramanuja or Ananda Tirtha were freely and to a certain extent fearlessly used to substantiate their personal spiritual experiences. Radhakrishna to take a point also. He also quotes Krishna. But in reality, they were only trying to dilute their valid, valuable, and authentic awareness gained in the new path. All this is due to fear of the organization to which they formerly belong, branding them as heretics for daring to put forward an experience or experience different from the accepted notions of the organization. It is history to state that the voices of genuine seekers who differed from the organization to which they belonged, getting booed and silenced. Mobocracy has its own way of success, and the power of the mob is formidable. It is very few that resist the oppression of the majority. However, the institutional opinions always prevail, and this is one of the misfortunes of humanity, that dogmas prevail over truth. Though dogmas dominate the organizations of spirituality, godmatics have always found the scripture providing them a more refreshing, honest, open, spiritual, loving, and exciting way to be a follower of the path. Those who are godmatic or real seekers have a style of faith that is free, open, and creative. One does not have to be told repeatedly as to how to act and particularly what to believe. The commandments of the master are sufficient, and one can and should use his brain and knowledge to apply them to suit the personal perspectives. The supreme gift of God to us is thought, and we need to apply the ability to think given to us appropriately. The godmatics believe that they have a way of seeking God, and that is more important than finding God by a certain dogma or belief or being dogmatic. Revered Babuji, in his letter to Dr. KCV, was sharing the difficulty he was facing to do spiritual good to the aspirants of South India. The great acharyas of South India have given their systems of Vedanta, and the fashion of the day is to speak about Advaita or Vishtadvaita whenever there is some topic of discussion or debate on the subject of spirituality. It matters little to them as to what their personal experience shows, and it is of paramount importance to them to put the new in the old wine bottles. Master talks of spirituality being simple and natural, and for him the whole effort is directed towards gaining balance in life. He clarified his position very clearly in his message, Solution to the Problem of Life, stating that we always like to seek our way or to solve our problem of life through the difficult methods so commonly prevalent in our country. That is why disappointment and frustration result. We want to extract essence from fatty substances, in other words, from things which are puffed up with material knowledge and not from the bones where phosphorus is abundant, to illumine the particles, however soiled they may be. Our difficulty thus becomes greater in the struggle. Continuing, he asks us to adopt easy means to gain the easy thing. Dogmas can do you no good. It is only the practical thing that can be your destiny under the guidance of one who has measured the distance and has discovered the original source. The dogmas that are governing the thinking of aspirants in general in South India relate to dogmas or fixed notions about the nature of Brahman or Atman or many other less discussed topics which stand as superior in the minds of the dogmatics. They refuse to admit the supremacy of their own experience over and above the opinion of the acharyas as understood by them, and they find themselves in a position where help from the master also finds limitation. This aspect of their partaking the milk and yet spoiling their sweet mouth by taking pickles was a point made by the master, and that was the subject matter of an earlier seminar. The infallible will of the master, notwithstanding, the dogmas they entertain keep them glued to the old notions and perceptions of their intellectual liking. This is a great tragedy. The sun shines bright, yet the bee caught in the lotus, he is not able to come out of the flower. Lost as it is in the nectar of the flower, oblivious of the light of sun, who supports its beauty and all existence. Dr. Casey states the problem of the aspirant by giving a bird's view of the notions we gain from various systems of philosophy. He states that we have not merely the six orthodox Astika, but also the several Nastika Darshanas, as expounded by Madhvacharya in his Sarvadarshana Sangraha. We are also confronted with the stimulating influence of Western philosophies, or rather world philosophies, and we are discerning the identity of views, or near identities or similarities all over the globe. In a sense, we are enabled to go beyond our little territorial grounds. Inward understanding and realization of gaps in thinking and deductions which were slurred over by dogmatic faith has not only helped us to look forward to a new build-up in the internal structure of our darshanas, but also the world philosophy to be. This, needless to warn, is a very slippery ground. It is nonetheless valuable insofar as we know that most of the commentaries of the earliest works in each darshana seems to have been written long afterwards. The problem is mainly to differentiate between faith and dogma. Master, dwelling on the topic of faith in his book Reality at Dawn, states that true faith is really an unspeakable virtue which is beyond the scope of religion. It is a dauntless courage which leads us on to success. It is that ubiquitous force which makes our path smooth. It is in fact the only thing that solves our problem of life. When we consider faith, we for definite do not mean dogma, nor do we mean belief. Faith is an overwhelming necessity, which in the final resort overrides all our actions and beliefs. At times, it even seems as if faith is simply another name for God. It is that in which we live, move, and have our being. A rudimentary faith precedes any action. Without it, we could never make the first step, that first tentative move. Before we even knew we could take our first step, we had already embarked on that exercise, and thus we started to walk. Walking for the intellectual may be a matter of questioning the reasons for our earlier stages of development, being confined to sitting, rolling over and crawling, and consequent development. But that is not the case. There is a faith in the individual that makes him develop to a higher state. Without that step of faith, our lives are restricted in terms of both action and thought. We breathe because we can. It is not an act of reason or a rational decision. It is life, and it simply is. For most of us, not being able to understand how this amazing organism, the human body, functions does not lead us to give up on breathing. We do not have to believe in breathing in order to partake of the activity, but we must admit our lives would be much poorer without breathing. The faith in the system of the Master might have granted us a set of doctrines or beliefs as its foundation, but the faith is much more than the beliefs that we affirm. When faith is lost and we stick to these doctrines and notions that were generated by us become more important, then a dogma is born. Some of the dogmas the disciples of revered Babaji seem to entertain are: Pranahuti is a panacea, purification process eliminates all our samskaras, the living master means a physical entity, the last word in spirituality has been already said. With the departure of the master from his physical cage, we have all become widows and orphans, and perhaps many more are in the making. We need to be careful about this tendency in all of us to uncritically accept notions about master and his method generated by persons whose claim to authenticity is just the physical proximity they had with him during his lifetime, and not sanctioned either by their involved condition nor the scriptures of the master. Concurrent with the tendency to create dogma is the creation of a new religion of natural path. This may appear to be an unnecessary fear, for after all, master is infallible. Master stated that no curvature will ever occur in his organization, and we know we were all united in making that untrue. These are arguments based on emotions. and sentiment are not based on reality of facts. Master has stated in several places that there are many other ways, and he was giving a new and fresh system that can be followed by all. He never said that without his system or his support, no one can reach God. That would be making him a joker. To say that I know the path, and can help others in the path, if they are willing to follow what I say, is entirely different from saying that no one else knows the path and there is no way other than this. He says, he gives us the path of grace or Dayalma, but simultaneously he says there is another path through Kal Shakti. He is frank in stating that his master did not teach him that path, and he found that after his curiosity was roused in the same by his master. But the dogma today is believe in the living master or go to hell. And obey the rule of the authoritarian organization or mission and you would have salvation. In contrast, for us, the Godmatics, it is far more important to seek God through impedience than to just believe. We are surely believers of the master, a special personality, but we hear a different message from the master in our heart than the one propagated by self-styled authorities and spirituality. We have beliefs, but we do not insist we have a special corner or a final truth in interpreting the world or God. Master's messages are all purely spiritual than religious. The place to find God is within oneself, and more particularly in the heart, and not in the externals like belief, dogma, or dictates of the organization. Our faith and our understanding of the Master's work is that we can experience and experience the eternal Master within. It is not by a set of correct beliefs or creeds, but by sadhana that we realize our oneness with God. It is not the dogmatic belief in the Master that our personal relationship with Him is the way. We do not have the capacity to fix God to certain pet notions and ideas and ideologies. Therefore, it is essential for us to know our true self and be guided by the messages of the Master, who is transforming us with His grace and power of love and majesty of the and majesty of the twilight. Being Godmatic with faith in our Master and His method and moving towards infinity is the true faith. Seeking God and becoming become one with Him because of the impedience granted to us by the Master and His exhortations in His messages is the real Shraddha or faith. That is the style of the Godmatics, and that spirit will be found in the literature of ISRC. Literature that the ISRC provide to all seekers. Thank you.